With one eye on the window to make sure he wasn't seen, he took a careful step forward. There was no one watching. He took another step, grabbed the remote and jumped back. He pressed the power button, but nothing happened. Surely Daddy wouldn't mind if Joe went to find him. He'd come in, fix the TV, and then Joe could find out who the ghost of Rufus Raucus was. He'd worked out that the monsters in Scooby-Doo were never real, they were just people in masks, but he wasn't sure who the villain was in this episode and he wanted to know. He looked at the door. It seemed impossibly far from the spot. But if he wanted to find his daddy, he'd have to go through it, and then out into the hallway, and then into the garden. His heart pounded and he swallowed. His mouth was dry. What if he needed to pee? He was permitted to leave the spot to pee. "I need to pee," he said out loud, in case someone was listening. Then he edged towards the door. It was closed, but that was okay. He reached for the handle, turned it, and stuck his head into the hallway. There was no one there. He looked from the television to the front door, head swiveling uncertainly. But he wasn't going back to the spot. It wasn't fair. He tiptoed forward, ready to turn and run if he heard someone coming. Which was silly, really, because he was about to go looking for Daddy. He reached the front door. There was a little resistance when he leaned on it, as if the door itself wanted him to turn back. Then it opened. It was sunny outside, and Joe squinted, eyes aching from the sudden brightness. Then he stepped forward. The front garden was just grass, with a hedge around it so no one could see in. There was a gate, too, which his daddy had to open with a button. His car was in the driveway, the boot open, the doors unlocked. That was strange. Mummy's wasn't there, of course. She would be back when the little hand reached the 11. His feet crunched on the path as he headed around to the back of the house. The garden was big and Joe liked it a lot. There was a huge rectangular lawn for kicking a football, a playground of his very own with swings and a climbing frame, lots of boring old flower beds and, best of all, at the back, a mysterious wood. That's what Mummy called it. Dad called it the bloody wild bit, as in, "When are you going to sort out that bloody wild bit, Kaylee?" But Mummy said it was good to keep it wild, for exploring and adventuring and helping the hedgehogs. And Daddy just sighed and let it go. Which was odd because, as Joe well knew, Daddy never let things go, not ever. In between the big lawn and the mysterious wood was the garden house. Daddy had built it when Joe was small. He said he needed a place to escape to. Joe wondered what it was he needed to escape from. Sometimes he worried that it was him. The garden house had thick walls and a glass door hidden by a big flowery bush, and it was completely silent. When he had friends over, Joe would sometimes slip inside and scream his head off to show them how they couldn't hear him with the door shut. Joe wasn't meant to disturb his daddy when he was in there. But Joe was going to have to disturb him. He started down the path, toes sinking into the gravel, his hands balled into nervous fists, planning what he would say. "I'm sorry, the telly is broken. I'm sorry, the telly is broken." He repeated it as he drew nearer to the house. "I'm sorry, the telly is..." He stopped. He had a clear view now of the glass door and of what was behind it. Birds took panicked flight as Joe tore back to the house, almost tripping over a spade that he hadn't seen on the way out. He hurtled back to his spot in front of the blank television and sat, careful to put himself exactly in the right place, his legs folded beneath him. His trousers were wet with pee, and he couldn't seem to unball his fists. He was shaking, but he fixed eyes streaming with tears on the screen, gazing into the darkness. There was a monster outside, wearing a daddy mask, and soon it would come back into the house.
Chapter 1. Kelly, 6 years later. My trainers pound on pavement, making mush from leaves. Music is powering my pistons. It's early enough that I'm the only one on the road, if you don't count.